You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message, Pastor Joe Sulit uses Romans 12, verses 14 to 18, to talk about a biblical response to offense.
Good morning. We are continuing our series on peace, and our message today is entitled, No Offense. Say to the person beside you, no offense. Today we're going to talk about offense and how it's used by the enemy, actually, as a tool to steal our peace and drag us into a life of bitterness and resentment. They're saying that we all are living in an age of perpetual offense. It simply means that there are a lot of opportunities around us for us to get offended. We live in a time where there's a pervasive trend for people to find offense in just about anything, right? Often we find our emotions stirred up by what people do and what people say, right? The state of being offended is what the enemy wants us to fall into because he wants us to be miserable. He wants us to be full of hatred. The word offense comes from the Greek word skandalon. And it's actually, they don't use this anymore, it's actually a trap where you put the bait in the middle to lure animals. So offense is actually the trap of the enemy, and he will use people's words, he will use people's actions to make us bitter, resentful, and unforgiving. The thing is, the enemy sets a different trap for different people. He knows you too well to know your hot buttons, right? And, you know, he knows how to get into your nerves. He knows what makes you angry. You know, I have a very long patience, but I have to make a confession. I'm easily annoyed by people who are makulit. How do you say that in English? Stubborn doesn't even come close to it, right? When you're persistently annoying, persistently questioning, you know, I have a short fuse when it comes to that. But maybe you're not. So the enemy uses, you know, knows your hot buttons, and he would use people. He would use difficult people to actually keep on pressing that button until it takes you to the edge. It could be the driver who cut you off at the roundabout. It could be the rude lady at the checkout counter or some random stranger who probably just had burnt toast for breakfast. It's fine, you'll get over it. I don't get to meet that person every day. Probably will never see that person again. But the thing is, the people who could be very difficult are not always strangers. And you don't have to look far. Look at the person beside you and smile at him or smile at her. Sometimes it's your son, your daughter. And sometimes, and I say most of the times, it's your spouse. Why are you smiling, Chris? Nothing. Oftentimes, they're the people that are close to us. It could be your office mate or your friend. And somehow, most of us have been sort of experts in trying to always find fault in others. Let me tell you this. If you are on a continuous search to be offended, you will always find offense in what others say or do to you. If you are always on a continuous search to be hurt, you will be always hurt by what others say or do to you. I haven't met anyone who is fragile, who is easily offended and angry, that is ever joyful in his life. You know, there are people who are just like unhappy because they always try to find fault in others. They are miserable. They always have something to complain about, even if it's a beautiful day. They would always have a story to tell about how others hurt their feelings or what others, you know, did to them. They will always have a reason to justify why they are unhappy. The question is, if this is you, is there something that we can do about it? Regardless of how much you limit your social interaction, you can't avoid being offended by others. And regardless of how guarded your heart is, you will always be hurt by people around you. But you have a choice. There is a way through this, and this is what we are going to study today. I would like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 18. I'm using the NIV version today. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 18, or you can scan this if you don't have your Bibles with you, and we will read it all together. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The verse starts with, bless those who persecute you. When someone attacks you, the natural response is to engage in conflict, to fight back, to retaliate, and sometimes get even, right? When someone hits you on your left cheek, you fight back. You don't offer your right cheek and say, hit me again, right? We don't do that. That's not our nature. But here, Paul repeated it again, saying, you know, bless those who persecute you. Bless, bless, and do not curse. The Greek word for blessed is to speak well of. So Paul here is saying, speak well of people who persecute you, people who have hurt you. This is saying if there's one difficult person in your life, think about that person. Someone who has done you wrong. Someone who has hurt you in the past. Someone who has caused you misery. This is saying speak well of them. The thing is, we don't have any problem speaking well of people who are a blessing to us. But the danger is, it's also equally easy for us to speak ill of those who are hurting us and causing us pain. Paul is reminding us, as a follower of Christ, we bless and we do not curse. If there is one temptation that I always pray about, is for me not to speak ill of anyone. When we are hurt by a certain person, we become so passionate in telling others about what that person has done to us and how that person has made our life miserable. We carry a mirror. Listen to me. We carry a mirror of their reflection. And what do? We carry that mirror around and we show it to others, not knowing that we are mirroring them to others. You judge me, I will judge you. You're mad at me, I'll be mad at you. You made my life miserable, I'll make yours even more miserable. Somehow, we feel good about telling others how bad that person is, right? But what we do is just pass on the malice to other people. Now they see the person from the mirror that we gave them. If you cannot say something good about a person, don't tell it to me. If you have an issue with that person, go to that person directly. Talk to that person. Ask for forgiveness. Reconcile. If you can't surrender that person's offense to the Lord, and ask Him to give you the grace to overlook that offense. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. It is to your glory if you look, overlook an offense. You see, our brains are biologically designed to protect us from danger and harm. When there is a threat, our natural response is to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves from that threat. Criticizing people is easy. You know what's the hard part? It's looking at yourself in the mirror, taking the plank off your eye, and looking at your own faults, and taking responsibility for changing yourself. Now my question is, how do you know if you have the spirit of offense? Maybe you feel like, I'm good, you know. There are people who have hurt me in the past and I'm fine, I'm okay with it. But how do you know if you have the spirit of offense? You know you have the spirit of offense if you're more concerned about being right about everything than anything or anyone else. We get offended because we create a story about others based on accusations. You know what I mean? I accuse you based on my perception that I am right and you are wrong. May not necessarily be the case, but it's my perception. You are wrong and I'm right, and I'm accusing you for that. But remember this, accusations, they divide the church. Accusations, they destroy friendships. Accusations, they ruin families. Accusations, they destroy marriages. The goal of the peacemaker is not to prove who is right. The goal of the peacemaker is to do what is right, and that is to be loving. Jesus did not say that the world will know that you are my disciple if you're always right, if you're good at defending yourself, if you have this vast knowledge about the Bible. Jesus said that they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Remember this, love doesn't seek to win the argument. What does love do? It seeks to protect the relationship. When you are offended by your spouse, your goal is not to prove who is right or who is wrong. Your goal is to protect your marriage. Husbands, remember this, and wives too. In a battle of emotions, remember this, the one who wins is not the one who won the argument, but the one who showed grace and the one who chose to love. That is the person who wins the argument. There are times when you think you're right. There are times when you're sure, and very, very, very sure. Why is it the picture of the woman there? That you are really, really, really right. And husbands, you just say, okay, you're right. True. Who said that? Come in front. But the question is, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Are you loving? Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you forgiving? Do you show grace in that situation? You know, being right doesn't give you the right to beat people over the head with it. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. I tell you, I'm telling you I'm right. You don't have the right to beat people over the head with the fact that you're right. We should always have an attitude of humility when we're speaking of the truth. Knowing too much without love leads to you being so full of yourself. It leads to pride. And pride has destroyed families, it has ruined marriages, it has divided friendships. Let's go back to verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Most of the things were given as a command, but this time, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is saying that you have a choice. It depends on you how far you can live at peace with the people around you, as far as it depends on you. Remember this, being offended is inevitable. You can't avoid it, but living offended, that's your choice. That's your choice. Being hurt is inevitable. You will always be hurt by even the people who say they love you so much. But living hurt, that's a choice that you have to make, as far as it depends on you. Your life is too short. Your calling is too great to be offended by something so small. The root of offense is what? The root of offense is pride. Satan would love you, and he will like whisper to you, take offense. You know, he said something that's really, really bad about you. Take offense. He wants you to think highly of yourself. He loves to create division, tension, offense, hatred, bitterness, contention, arguments, jealousy, and at the end of the day, he wants you to resent that person. You will know that you might have the significant issue with the spirit of offense when you have the tendency to always look at people's faults. How many of us, rather than looking at what the good that that person has done, we focus on the mistakes that person is doing or the mistakes that person has done? Do you have the tendency to magnify and focus on others' faults? Now, here's something that we all struggle with. Do you feel it is your job to correct the mistakes in many areas of that person's life? Parents, we're guilty of this. We feel that it's our job to correct or, you know, control everything in our children's lives. You know that you have the spirit of offense if you are overly critical and negative about other people. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let's embrace humility, because peace starts when you have humility in your heart. It's hard to offend others when you are humble. The people who offend others are the people who are so full of themselves, who only think about what they're feeling and think highly of themselves. But if you have humility in your heart, it's so hard to offend others. The people who offend you are the people who are proud, who always wants to feel that they're right. And it's difficult to offend a person who puts the needs of others above his own. It's difficult to offend a humble person. The root of offense is pride. You know, the person who is offending you or the person who has offended you is trying so hard to be hurt. Peace with that person does not begin with listening to respond. Because most of the time, we listen, and at the back of our mind, we're already formulating a response. Peace with that person doesn't begin with that mind matter of how should I respond to this. Peace with others begins when we listen so that we could understand that person. You listen so that you can understand that person, not so you can formulate something to say back. Listen to understand. The fact is, we will all have difficult people in our lives, whether you like it or not, but we all have a choice. And please, don't lose your peace over someone who is trying to make your life difficult. Don't give that person a portion of your ability to be happy. A relationship always involves two persons, right? And the only one that you are in control of is yourself. You can never be in control of the other person. And maybe the reason why you are still offended if you come to think of it, it's because there is something in your heart that God wants to change. Maybe you have bitterness in your heart, and that's the reason why you still get offended. Maybe you're jealous about something. Or maybe you're angry, just angry. You have hatred in your heart. Maybe God wants to take out the resentment that you have towards that person. And most of the time, we are offended because we have so much unforgiveness in our hearts. Maybe that person has done you something wrong 10 years ago. And you still get offended by that person because you have unforgiveness in your heart. The reason why someone pisses you off is because there's something in you that God wants to be changed. And you don't look at the fault of others, look at yourself in the mirror. Lord, I feel so much hatred in my heart. What do you want? I want to give this hatred, this jealousy, this anger to you. And God wants to replace those feelings with kindness, with humility, and with love. There will always be times that you don't have to prove that you're right. You just have to do what is right. As far as it depends on you, you have a choice. You have a choice to be a little more kinder than you have to. If you're kind to that person, be kinder. Sometimes you have to love a difficult person a little more than they deserve. If you deserve this just kind of love, today I'm going to give you a little bit more. And by God's grace, tomorrow I can give you so much more. People will hurt you. People will offend you. But living offended, living hurt, it's a choice. Do not let the behavior of others bother your inner peace. In your actions, practice humility. In your heart, practice forgiveness. So be full of love and light, and let us all enjoy a life of peace surrendered to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for relationships right now. There might be marriages here who are marriages which are at the brink of breaking apart. Maybe you have an issue with your mother-in-law. Maybe you have issues with your children. Maybe you have issues with your spouse. Or maybe it's your relationship with the Lord. Lord, we come to you today. And we ask for your healing and for your restoration in our relationships. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us to speak well of people who have done us harm. As far as it depends on you, Lord, you have given us a choice. In our own human nature, it's hard to forgive. It's hard to love. It's hard to be humble. So Lord, we surrender every emotion, every feeling, and everything that is in our heart right now that is not aligned to your will and your purpose for our lives. And Lord, give us a heart of flesh. Help us to be loving. Help us to be kind. Thank you. Help us to be forgiving. And may your peace, peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, be with us today as we surrender everything to you. Give us a new heart. Let me be the light to the people around me. And everything that I do out of love. And I do for your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Let's give God a praise.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.